Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
So far, John Williams, Wendy Snyder's playlist. Her summer playlist is my favorite. ELO and the Traveling Wilburys, yes. And 262 said, John, the youth have deep musical interest. This is a shout out to you, Caitlin. Great playlist, 5 stars. In the past, people anchored on the 70s and 80s only. Now the youth loves a wide range. Yeah, it was a nice list. It's 1046. Connell McShane anchors his own show on News Nation. You can hear News Nation Live with Connell McShane at 2 o'clock. We say hi to him in 60 seconds. Home Sweet Home Chicago real estate attorney and trust planning expert Dave Schluter. Oh, you know what, Pete? I'm going to go ahead and finish this one. No, I'm going to do the right one. I got 2 commercials for you. Let me do the right one at the right time. Replacing your windows and doors is a big project. You need an installer you can trust. The solution is simple. Call Next Door and Window. Right now, you get 50% off the installation, plus 0 interest and 0 payments for a year. Call 844-600-NEXT or visit nextwindow.com. Schedule a free, no-pressure consultation. Make sure you tune in to Home Sweet Home Chicago tomorrow morning starting at 10. Gary Armstrong, that's my guy from Next Door and Window, will be on the show answering all of your questions. Gary's really good at it. You'll get a lot of good information from him. Connell McShane, thanks for joining us again. I hope your break was good. You weren't on last Friday.
I know. I just realized that. Yeah, no, it was nice. I had a week off, just at the beach. Fun times. How you been?
We've been good. We've been doing summer playlists. You know, if you have any time over the weekend and you want to send to us Connell McShane's 10 songs of summer, they don't have to sing about summer per se. They don't even have to have been released in the summer. Just what's your summer vibe in 10 songs?
I will do that. See, I have to give it some thought. You know, it's funny, when I worked for IMUS, I still have the scars to prove for years.
You were his newsman for years.
He used to ask all the guests to provide their 5 favorite songs, and there were a few guests who refused, and he refused to have them on. So, and some of them were fairly big names.
Wow.
But he just would not have them on. And it was one time, I forget who it was, but it was a big, you know, journalist from one of the networks that covered the White House or something. He says, "I'm not doing that," and I'm just, "Well, then you're not coming on." And he never had him on. So,
I guess that would be a good way, though. It's kind of a litmus test to see if you're willing to play. Are you going to be good? Without caring about the list, it's an entree into their availability, right?
Yeah, and I think it tells you a little bit about people. I had some Springsteen on my list. I like Green Day. I had Green Day on my list. I think I had – he loved the Eagles, so I started to like the Eagles, even though that was a little – well, everything's – a lot of things.
We're not against sucking up to the boss here. Some of us are guilty of that. No names, Steve Alexander.
I'm a 90s guy for the most part when I was in college. Mighty Mighty Boston's, I love them. So I think they have one of those songs on my list. So anyway,
I can do it for you guys. Think about it. We'll check in with you next Friday. How does that sound?
That's fair.
What is the significance of, or are we done with, the airplane switcheroo story? The president was at the NATO summit. He was in Turkey. There was a threat, or at least they believe there was a threat, that his plane might get shot down. He doesn't fly on the Qatari plane. Ostensibly, he goes to Air Force One, the traditional one he doesn't like, but then he sneaks out a side door in a catering crate and is ferried to a third plane. Journalists and other members of the administration then take off in Air Force One, the decoy plane, so that if the plane gets shot down, the president won't be on it. That's not the end of the story, but that's the headline. What do you think about that?
I think there's 2 big takeaways. Number one, the threat environment for this president at this time, given this war that he's prosecuting in Iran, is real. Whether this particular threat was as serious as they took it, I mean, I don't know. And the Secret Service obviously didn't want to take any chances. So I think that's number one. The second part, in terms of the role the media or the White House press corps plays in all of this, I think there was probably a little bit of overreaction when the story broke. And I think that speaks, John, in many ways, to the environment as well that we're in, that there is almost no trust between, particularly this administration, But just between political figures, and probably more so on the right, and the media right now, and it's probably the worst it's ever been, because the most comparable event that we had to this was Bill Clinton flying between India and Pakistan in the year 2000. And now the backstory on that has subsequently come out, that he did switch planes, and he ended up flying on an unmarked jet, and, you know, the press knew about it afterwards. One of my colleagues here at News Nation, who runs the Washington Bureau for us, along with the website The Hill, Bill Salmon, was on that flight, and he wrote about it the other day. But what happened in that case is that the White House press team told one reporter, the president of the White House Correspondents Association, happened to be Susan Page of USA Today, off the record. And now that it's 25-plus years later, she spoke about that. As far as we know, they didn't tell anyone. And a lot of people, normal people, say, well, what's the point of that? But there is a point, you know, that the White House press corps, as kind of the eyes and ears of the public, should know, or someone should know, where the president is in case something were to happen. So the idea that no one was told, I think, is part of the story. The idea that the press was used as a decoy, I mean, I'm not going to go as crazy about that, because, let's be honest, Marco Rubio, who's the Secretary of State, Scott Bessent, who's the Secretary of the Treasury, they were used as decoys as well. They were on that plane with the reporters. And the other thing for the reporters, at least they were on the Air Force One jet, the older version that does have apparently the missile defense capability. So there's that as well. But it was an interesting story, to say the least.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Stephen Miller was on that plane. Chung was on there, as well as the journalists. You know, one observation I heard about it was, agreed, the safety of the president is paramount. And one of the people who orchestrated trips to war zones for George W. Bush, said that if you travel with the White House or work with the White House, you know there are inherent risks. And particularly this president, who has been the target of at least three assassination attempts that we know of, one bullet grazed his ear. There was a death threat put out for him by Iran. It's one of the reasons this president is so hyper-focused on this war or maybe that regime. But it was also suggested that the president needs to be ushered to safety, but then why put everybody on a target plane at all? If the threat was real, what's the point of flying Marco Rubio and journalists into the sky and making them the target? The president is ferried off to safety. Germany is not that far away. There are safe bases nearby. Nobody needed to take off in the decoy plane. You see what I'm saying?
I mean, I'm sure there. I do see what you're saying. I don't know enough. I'm going to be honest about presidential protection, security, and what was discussed behind the scenes, what the threat was, to have any kind of a educated thought on that. I mean, I talked to a special agent, a former special agent, about it the other day, and, you know, he's very complimentary of his former colleagues in the Secret Service and thought they handled it well. And his larger point was that what they're tasked when they're on presidential protection detail with is one thing, and it's keeping the president safe, keeping the president alive at its most extreme, you know, interpretation. So their job is not certainly to put reporters in harm's way, but it's also not their job or White House staff to protect those people. They're supposed to protect the president. Their judgment was that this was the way to protect him. I'm also, you know, just from talking to people who have covered the White House over the years, although this was a kind of a dramatic and there was almost a cloak and dagger element to it, and it sounded like something out of a book, there are a lot of times when things happen that we don't necessarily know about where decoys are used. Even on a regular basis, decoy helicopters are used when there's, you know, SUVs all the time. They look like presidential limos, and there's only one with the president. So what about the people in those other cars? I'm not sure. Is there anyone besides the driver? Honestly, I don't know in all cases if that's the case. So, again, this was something that the Secret Service chose to do, probably something they didn't want us to find out about. I'm sure we could Monday morning quarterback part of it, but at the end of the day, that's their job, to keep the president safe. I do think it's fair to say that at least one member of the press corps, even if it was on background or off the record, probably should have been notified about it. I think that's a fair question.
If they had told them, then they could have made the decision whether or not they wanted to get on Air Force One. But back to one last point, it's a journalism question for you. Then was the Washington Post wrong in revealing that? Because now the ruse has been exposed. I don't know that they would do it again or need it again, but maybe they should not have told us that this is how the president escaped danger.
Well, that goes back to the earlier point about trust, and this is just my view on it, but I understand other people might have other views, but that's one of the reasons that if you're the White House that you want to build up trust, and I know it goes both ways, but you want to build up trust with the reporters that cover you. The relationship, just by its pure definition, is going to be antagonistic. It should be antagonistic. However, if you had the trust with the press corps, and many times members of the press corps are brought in, and you mentioned those trips to Iraq years ago. I know people who were on those trips, and they were woken up in the middle of the night, weren't told where they were going, but then they were told later what they needed to know. There was an element of trust. So if there had been, in this case, an element of trust where some reporters were briefed off the record, it may have stayed off the record. I think trying to keep it a secret and trying to do it in this way actually led probably to the reporting of the Washington Post, which I think was excellent reporting on their part.
Yeah. We're 6 months into the six-week war. I got about 45 seconds, but what's the headline on your show today about the status of the war in Iran?
That we're 6 months into the six-week war, and not a lot has changed on a day-to-day basis. We get stories here and there that we can focus on, but, you know, the story of the week is that Iran is now saying the quiet part out loud. They're basically saying, hey, we want to drag this thing on as long as we can and hope we can do it until Trump's out of office. That's their goal. Can they do it? We'll see.
Yeah, that's 2.5 years, and it does feel like that. It does feel like they're not going to be bombed into submission or negotiation. And it sounds like the terms on the table on their side are unacceptable to the U.S., right?
That's exactly right. And now, you know, it's just a battle of wills. The argument on the U.S. side is that the Iranians are in such economic trouble, something we've heard now for weeks, if not months, that at some point they'll have no choice but to give in to the U.S. demands. Until that happens, it hasn't happened. So that's the argument. I get it. That's what the president's trying to do. But yeah, so far, it hasn't worked.
Colin McShane's summer playlist will be featured next week.
Oh, man, homework.
So you'll need to send that to producer Pete, okay?
I will. I'm going to get on this. That's probably all I'll do this weekend. So I thank you, John.
He's the anchor of News Nation Live with Colin McShane. Watch him at 2 o'clock on Comcast DirecTV and Dish Network.